All right, we'll get right into it. Got a lot to cover. You guys all doing good this morning? Mm-hmm. Yeah? All right. You know, you saw, no one asked for a title today, but if you see my slide, that the people online, it says Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 11, and it says, I hope something good happens to you today. So that's my title. Okay. I have a title today for our Sunday school. I hope something good happens to you today. And I wanted to ask,
is that better? Are you guys okay? All right. Something good happened to you today, what would it be? What would it be if you thought, oh, this happened to me today, that's good. What would it be? Okay. So if you guys can just say it. Or you guys say it together. Yeah, so, say it together. So,
we lost you, Frank. We lost Frank.
It would be, someone, I found a $100 bill on the ground. Oh, that's good. It's pretty good. I won the lottery today. That's typical. I don't get spiritual kind of stuff, right? Like, oh, I found a new Bible. maybe that's good too. But what I'm trying to get is, what do you usually think about? Like, something good happened. Well, I got a promotion. That's good. I won my volleyball or basketball game, right? We won the championship. That would be good. So, what's in your mind today, this morning? What would be good? Varsity coach changed. Like, yeah. What for you, what would be good? You don't have to share with the group, maybe just three there and four here. Oh, yeah. And then you guys, Scott, I don't want to break everybody into groups, but you know, we can share. Okay, what is it? You guys done?
Sure.
We done.
Sure. All right. Anybody want to share? Something good happened to you today? What would it be?
Something good.
I think that means it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
All right. I want your
reference. I'm excited about it for Russell. But,
yeah, super excited. It's just today. It's just
okay.
Today. I heard that we were going to have like pot pot tonight with my grandma.
Oh.
But like with my hot pot, I like rice cakes, but nobody else likes it. So like, I would like one thing good would like be able to like
go. Just ask. Just see it.
Now you know what I remember.
Just ask. Yeah. Oh really? That's an easy one.
You ask your father something.
Yeah, that's an easy one. Okay, that is pretty funny. Yes. That is going to be a good day. Hot pot on a this kind of cloudy day. Good choice. Good choice.
78 in Southern California.
Yeah. So this good thing that we're talking about, something good has everything to do with what we are looking at today. That's my suggestion, is that this, the good, is going to be the answer to everything that we're talking about, what happened talking about. Okay, so just follow with me. Last week we talked about the progression, right? Of the ask, seek, and knock. I really like what you were mentioning. It's very jarring. You saw a progression, and many commentators have mentioned that. It's a progression. You just keep going, keep going. You know, you deeply You're seeking something. So you're asking, seeking, and knocking. And then where Pastor Alex ended at, he kind of helped us to note the fact that this is talking about prayer, and it's hyperlinking back to the Lord's Prayer, which is in the same sermon. So Jesus is covering prayer again. And his question, I'm going to rephrase it, maybe it's not exactly what he was asking, but he was kind of asking, why? Why do you think he's talking about it again? And I'm going to ask, is it to give the people and give us an assurance that your prayers will be answered? Right? He talked about prayer. He says, I'm going to say it again here. Ask, you will receive. Seek, you will find. And knock, it will be opened unto you. Right? It's telling you, whatever you ask, you get. You ask for the dog, and you get the dog. Right? Seek for the dog, and you'll find it. Right? You need something, you have full faith, you got it. You want something, you have faith, you trust in God, you got it. And Jesus saying, you guys didn't hear me the first time, I'm going to say it the second time. And this is from Pastor Alex's slide right here.
I didn't show that yet.
Yes, I know. So I took it from his slide. And he says, Judaism has a tradition celebrating men of faith with holy chutzpah. Can you say chutzpah? Chutzpah, that's good. Shema, chutzpah. Okay, holy chutzpah or boldness, who could request and receive anything they ask for from God. So this is what Jesus is talking about, right? Jesus is talking about, whatever you ask, you shall receive. In fact, that's what it says. There, you know, in Matthew, you guys don't have to turn to it, but I have it in front of me. It's Mark 11, 24. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe it, you will receive it, and it will be yours. John 11, 22. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. John 14, 13. Jesus says, whatever you ask in my name, in Jesus' name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. John 16, 23. Truly, truly, I say, very assuredly, that's what he's saying, whatever you ask in my Father's name, I will give it to you. So where is your holy chutzpah? You know, so is this why Jesus is bringing up prayer again? Is this Jesus' message to his followers back then and to you and I? Is this the radical message? Is this the good news? Whatever you ask, you shall receive. What do you guys think? This is like very critical because we deal with this, right? I mean, if this is a promise, we gotta hold on to it, right? But if it's not the promise, then we need to know too, because you are. It's a promise. It's a holy chutzpah. Do you have that boldness to claim it? Is this Jesus' message? There is a path that I'm leading us down to, but I want to say there's no wrong answer, because it is a journey that we're on to understand Jesus and what he's teaching. And God is molding us and shaping us. So there's no wrong answers, but we are on this path. We're trying to understand what the scripture is telling us, what Jesus is telling us, because it's so critical, not just for adults, but for you young folks, two, three young folks, you're getting older. And that as you're studying, as you're growing up, and as you're finding your way into school and your career, you're going to be asking God, I need this. I want this. You said it in your scripture. My parents, my pastors tell me, my dad is my pastor. Teacher, right? My dad and my pastor tells me to leave everything in the scripture. And therefore, you're going to put all your faith in that. It's so important. Ask your Father in heaven whatever you want. He shall give it to you.
I think in this passage, he does talk about this contrast good and evil things.
Right? Okay.
Father gives to a child, right? So even as earthly parents, if our child asks for something that would be harmful to them, you know, we wouldn't give it to them, right?
Yeah.
So I think also in the same way, you know, we have to understand that our God is a good God who gives good gifts. Get how much more will your Father who's going to give good things?
Yeah.
Right? So I don't think the ask is like a blanket statement, like just whatever.
Yeah.
You know, or how much that's what you have.
Yeah.
I think it's, you have to recognize what is good, you know, and God only gives good things.
And that's what we're going to look at. And that's exactly what the good, you know, we want to look at the good. But if I had to be honest, I have, you know, I think many times I still struggle, even when I hear the preacher or a preacher say, yeah, nothing crazy. I'm not going to ask for a jet. I never ask for a jet. I think we put it out there, but actually I am asking good things when I was in college or going.
Or today. Yeah, why is there a tension then that exists, right? We pray with boldness. I think even Pastor James and I do teach our church to pray in boldness.
Okay.
So it's not always the prayer of, oh Lord, if you would give me a job, you know.
With job is not a bad thing.
Right, it's not a bad thing. Lord, you know I've been looking for a job.
I need a job.
Lord, I need a job. I need to pay the bills. I need whatever.
Yeah.
And it's not a badass. It's not even a want. I'm not even asking for a high salary job. I'm just asking God, Lord, please, would you provide?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And it's a good thing. And it's good. And I want to use the money to serve people. I want to have a job that allows me to have flexibility so I can still stay active in your kingdom. Lord, I'm not asking for much. You, all these things will be added unto you. I'm seeking first the kingdom. Why is this not being answered?
Because why do, and people, as we listen to this, people, and I think it includes me and you, we have this tension inside. It's like, actually, it's kind of half true, right? Like, I do ask good things. I'm not asking for bad things, right? Why wouldn't you give it to me? And I actually don't have it yet. Sometimes I do. Hey, praise the Lord. Something good happened to me today.
Right.
Something good happened to me today.
Or sometimes there's a breakthrough.
Sometimes the breakthrough. And just like that that sermon that Pastor Alex preached, I believe, 2 weeks ago, he talked about someone in New York, two ladies asking for a baby. Nothing bad there. One got it, the other one didn't. And that the one that didn't went down a very difficult mental path. Mm-hmm. And I don't blame her.
Right.
Because it were me, yeah, it would. And in fact, Rebs and I have a friend. She is dealing with that right now. And every week. And she prays. Mm-hmm. She prays. It's a good gift.
And is she a woman of the Lord?
She's
like
a woman
she
of
loves the
Lord.
Lord, right?
Yes. She decided they got married early. They both of them are believers, both of them serve in the church. Mm-hmm. Wanting a baby is a good gift.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good gift. But it hasn't happened yet. It's been over 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on there?
Mm-hmm.
What's going on there? So if we are honest with our own lives and what we've been through, and for the young folks, as you get into this world, you're going to encounter more of these tensions, more of these potholes, and then more of walls. And you're like, what's going on? It's not about just being a dog anymore, right? That's easy stuff, right? Your father and your mother will get you mad, right? It's about something else. What happens then? What happens to the scripture then? Oh, that hits home.
Mm-hmm.
It hits home with me, and I think it hits home with you guys too.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at is Jesus going to resolve this for us? I think so. But let's look at some fish and some bread. let's break bread right now.
Not dope.
Okay, I want to draw the attention to the bread and the fish right now. Why did Jesus suppose that fish and bread is what they were asking for? Now we kind of skip this. Why do you think that Jesus is saying, oh, of course you're going to ask for the fish and the bread, right? Why do you suppose Jesus is saying, this is what you're asking for? But reality inside, I mean, those people back then, first century Christians and us, I mean, we probably ask the same thing. Sure, we want some food, but I may want something more. I don't want a house, a bigger house. Maybe I want a bigger land. Maybe deep inside, they want something else. But Jesus just went to bread and fish. Why bread and fish?
And a motorcycle.
Motorcycle. Is that what you're asking for? You want bread? You want fish? It just comes to me every day. That's food, right? I don't really pray for that. I pray before I eat, but I don't pray like, oh, I'm having some dinner tonight. I know I'm going to have some dinner tonight. I'm not asking for fish and bread. I'm asking for something else. I'm asking for a new car. Maybe just me. Maybe just the one out that. Or a new computer. So it's interesting that Jesus talking about bread and fish. Any comment? If not, we move on, but I just wanted to bring that to our attention. You know, bread and fish. I suppose that's always the default object that Jesus uses, bread and fish. He never talks about education.
it's simple. It's I think it is still provisional, right? It's his provision for, I don't know, what do we call it, like basic necessity, like
basic necessities,
yeah.
Remember Matthew 6:11, Jesus gave us our daily bread. Daily bread, remember that? We're talking about basic necessities.
Not like a basic, like a daily PhD or a daily six-figure income.
Daily successes. Daily, yeah, whatever it is that we were in today. And back then, bread and fish is the basic Palestinian diet. Remember when Jesus turned the fish to two fish and three fish and five loaves?
Two fish and three loaves.
Five bread.
Five bread
and
two fish. It was the kid who had lunch, right? The kid, the mom prepared a basic lunch, which is their basic diet during that time, right? And this is what Cindy was talking about. Jesus already built this into the sermon. Ask whatever you want and you shall get. But when he mentions the fish and the bread, he's already safeguarding us from selfish needs. Because we have a tendency to go beyond the bread and fish. We don't want just that. We have that. We want more. But Jesus, or in his sermon, it's kind of baked in. He says, bread and fish. It's to guard against our selfish needs because we are selfish. Me, you, we want more. That's why when, even in this Bible study, as we're talking about this in Sunday school, the first thing we say, well, I don't really always get what I need. The scripture doesn't jive with my plan in my life. So Jesus saying, I know that. That's why it's bread and fish. That's why daily bread. The second time he said it, bread and fish, daily bread. That's what I'm giving you. That's what you're asking for. I'm giving you that. And if that were true, what is our basic needs? And I was, this is my same mental path as I was going. Basic needs here in the U.S., is that the same basic needs that the Haitians at the border has? Or is that the same basic needs that the Afghanistan families have? Or in Shanghai, or in Tokyo, or in Italy? Do we all have the same basic needs? This is not a thing like, oh, to make us feel guilty about what we have. No, this is a blessing. But this is what I'm trying to do is I am helping myself to put some perspective to our needs. What are our basic needs? Air conditioning? Basically in the desert, is it? a 4x4 truck? That's pretty basic. I want big tires to go over rough things so my family's safe. That's the tires don't pop. It's pretty basic.
So is that all Jesus wants us to ask for? Like Jesus is saying, don't ask for more than bread or fish. Or would Jesus, and I agree with Cindy, right? Looking at good gifts, yeah, we trust God to give us good gifts. And he knows what is good, not us. But is that good gifts? Are we limiting good gifts to the bread and fish?
Is that it?
Is that it?
Promise? That's it?
So our good father gives good gifts, bread and fish.
Yes.
It's not even saying good bread. It's just saying bread.
It's bread. It's not even good bread.
So is that what this is saying? So our generous, abundant, Father. And I agree with the Haitians, and I agree with the Afghan refugees, and I agree with rural villages, and I agree with all that concept. And I definitely think we are we have a tendency in our flesh to be self-centered. But is that what Jesus is teaching us? Don't ask for more.
Right.
So, but you ask for bread. I could give good gifts. I am abundance. That will give bread.
That's what he says in chapter 6. Pray. Mm-hmm. Ask for daily bread. Mm-hmm. That's Jesus' words in red. Not my words. I don't. Yeah, that's a good question. Is that what Jesus says? Because if that's the case, it's fulfilled all the time.
For us.
For us. Some people still die of hunger. Mm-hmm. I wonder if they prayed. Maybe they didn't pray. They would not have enough faith.
Not enough faith.
Not enough faith, so the baby died. Mm-hmm. Because they can't feed their baby.
Yeah. Oh, ye of little faith.
Where is their daily bread? I think this passage is critical to our belief about God and his promises.
Yeah.
Is this all we ask for? So the question is, yes, okay, this is to guard us from selfishness. But the question is, my question is, what else can I ask for? Where's the loophole here? Right?
Bread really means
money. Maybe. Fish means money. Yacht.
Some bread.
Yes, some bread. What else can I ask for? I think that's what we really want to know. So that's the least to good. So you said the good Father gives good things, gives good gifts. Everything is good. And Jesus mentions good twice in this passage. Good is used 77 times, a lot of times in the New Testament. And I want to suggest again this morning that the key to everything, to what we're asking for, what Pastor Alice was just mentioning, can we ask more? Or is it just bread and fish? Is the word good? Is the word good? Right? And even Jesus himself said, why do you call me good? No one is good except God. Why is God good? And if people say, oh, God's good all the time, all the time.
That's good.
That is good. And sometimes I'm like, I don't know. Because I'm going through some stuff. I'm not sure if he's good. Yeah, I got saved because I'm in church. I'm a Christian. But sometimes, yeah, oh, God is good. He gave me this. And I'm like, okay, he didn't give me that. Ain't good today.
I got bread. I got fish.
Oh, ain't good. He ain't good to me today. I hope something good happened to me. So why is God good? Other than the fact that people in church tell you to say that God is good. Why is he good? Interestingly, we call things goods. Because good has become synonymous with things. We even call, hey, give me the goods. You got the goods? It's goods are the things, right? So we call them goods. So God is good because he gives us the goods. Why is God good? Can someone flip to Psalm 31, 19 to 20? Someone else? At least if you can flip to Luke 1, 15 to 33. And then maybe Bob, can you flip to Luke 4, 18? Yeah, Psalm 31, 19 through 20. Luke 1, 52 to 53, and Luke 4, 18. Psalm 31. Someone can read that.
Psalm 31,
Oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, and work for those who take refuge in the sight of the children of men. That's Psalm. Yeah. Luke 1, 52, 53.
It says, you have brought down the mighty from the ground and exalted them with the voice of the Lord. You have filled them with good things, and rich them in the
Lord. In Luke 4, 18. The Spirit of the Lord is in me. He has sent me proclaim freedom for the prisoners and liberty sight. To set the oppressed free. Set the oppressed free.
I actually spent a lot of time looking at this word good in the past 2 weeks, just as much as I could find. Books, commentaries, my own time, meditating, praying about it, and it is without a doubt, at least the theologians and most respectable commentators, it is without a doubt the dominant theme through scripture about good, a good father, good, is embodied, in their words, in the procedures of justice, deeds of kindness, and acts of liberation, all of which serves the lowly in the society. And that's why Jesus is good. His goodness, mainly his grace and his care, is for the humble and the poor, which is synonymous, again, to seeking justice, correcting oppression, defending the fatherless, pleading for the widow. That is like from Old Testament to the New Testament. When the word good comes up, it is describing a father who is focused, who is really tending to the need. And it would make sense in the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus would say, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for they will see the kingdom of God. It is just different than what is good. That's why Jesus is good. Why is it the good news? It says here, I came to. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is Jesus talking. He anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. I'm good because I came to save you, not to make you rich. I came here to save you from this world. Because it's rough. It's tough. Right? It's full of sin. So I think it's so important for us to kind of reimagine what the word good means. Why is he a good father? Yeah, Peter?
Yeah, I was trying to think about that. That's a good question. I think for me to sum it up, why is God good, would just be, because every person's situation is different, right?
Yes, yeah.
But to sum it up, why is God good? Because he's for me. He is for me.
He's for you because
everything that he does is for me.
Right.
For so your good. For my good. Yeah. So any situation that I'm in, even I know I can't understand it, we have to remember why he's good, because he's for me. You know, everything that he does is good for me.
It's good for you.
It's good for me.
And what
it's
is
for my own good.
Right.
It's for my own good.
So I would, I don't know, can I push back on that?
Yeah, absolutely.
So God, okay, I think part of that sounded like legit, but I think part of it sounds a little bit like the universe is for me. God is, it's about me. So God's goodness, I would say, yes, he works everything, scripture says, for good. It doesn't even say for my good in that sense. It's for good. God works for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes, right? I think the statement is complete. God is for me for good. But to say God is just for me, and I don't think that's what you meant, right? But it could be contrived as it's about me. God exists for me. No, God doesn't exist for me. God exists first and foremost for God. The glory's word is all throughout scripture as well, right? If I tie it back to the text, going along with what you're saying though, right? Jesus is saying throughout this thing, he's talking about kingdom. Kingdom is good because God is good. Kingdom is God's ways for good. I even think I would go as far to say, to agree with you, Peter, too, that when we start with the Beatitudes, which say, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, blessed is not, the word makarios is not just happy. It's you, someone who has the favor of God, that's actually, right? So the favor of God upon us, the goodness of God upon us. The kingdom is for good because God is good. So we may not understand what is happening to us, but God always works for good because he himself is good. His intentions are always good. And I think that's what ties back to the scripture that we're reading about, right? Like, if a father on earth never intends to harm his child, but intends good for their child. But we all know that our fathers, even myself included, mess up because we're in this body of sin. I think that's what Jesus was saying. God's intentions are always perfectly good. For good. For what God knows is good. And if we're in under his system for good, we may not understand it, but it will always be for good.
And so let me clarify.
But that may not mean like, oh, that's my good.
Right, so let me clarify.
Not yet.
So you don't take it in the perspective of self-centeredness.
Right.
But make it personal.
Yeah, okay.
Because the personal relationship between you and them,
yes,
and God. And that's why he's good. Right? Because the gospel is, yes, he's here to save the world. And it is a personal thing. Right? So when I say he is for me, that means no matter what situation that I may be in, and people are different, that personal relationship, I have to understand that he's always good. He's for me.
Right, okay. Yes.
So I think it's the same.
Yeah. I wasn't like, you know, I wasn't. Shit.
But, I think where I get hung up on is just like everything is perfectly good, right?
Yes.
But what does that mean? What does that mean when we say it is good? I was after, why is it good? What is the essence of that good, right? And this Psalm 73, 28. If you guys flip to it, great. But I'm going to read it. David says, but for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge, and I may tell of all your works. And Jesus said this. This is clarified in Luke 10:42. Remember Mary and Martha, right? Jesus says, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away. Jesus is defining what is good. I think Jackson has a question. Let me finish this. Okay. Mary has chosen the good. Jesus is determining what is good, and Mary chose it because Mary chose to be near Jesus. That's good.
What is the greatest gift that God can give to us?
Did you finish, right?
Yes. To be near himself. Go ahead, Beth.
Yeah, so what I'm thinking about, like the definition of good, at least in the more modern sense, I think about in an assessment tool that I learned, something could be really good at being bad, as in you're really good at being bad, or really like really good at being purely evil. So good is kind of like a description. I don't know what proper grammar that is, but yeah, so basically I'm thinking, okay, to be good means you do what you're intended to do. Kind of like when God in Genesis said, created the earth and said, it is good. It's like, it's doing what it's designed to do. It's being what it's supposed to be. And to say that God is good, in my mind then, if I apply that definition, it's to say that God is perfectly being God. Like, he is good, like, all the time, because he is fulfilling who he is, like, at all times, without compromise. So, to me, when we say that, oh, God is good, to me, it's not so much about his actions, but more about, well, I mean, but it starts with who he is, and the fact that he is being God, and a lot of times that's beyond us, right? So anyways, that was my input on the word good.
Yes, and that is why God is good. Only God, you mentioned God is being God himself, right? And God is good, and goodness can only come from God. So when Jesus says, your Father will only give you good gifts. The good gifts can only come from the Father, and
the only gifts he could give is good.
And the gift itself is
good.
Good is God. Mm-hmm. It's himself.
Yeah, so I agree with that. So I was thinking about that. So I think if I were to think about that question, like, why is God good? I think it's definitely tied to his identity more than his actions.
More than his goods.
Right, more than his goods. Yes, yeah. I think it's his. I think why is because so that we can recognize what is good. Because his identity is goodness, right? So his wisdom is not tainted by sin, evil, anything, right? His gifts are not, you know, unpurely, given with all these things, you know, intertwined in it. His word, his everything is tied to his goodness. So I think it's to recognize what is good. I think why is he good? So we can know what is good, like what is truly good, right? And I love the verse that says, like, I have no good besides you, right? Mm-hmm. I think it's just for us to recognize that standard and that being that he is, that what true goodness is.
And that's what we have to choose.
Right.
To be next to Jesus. Nothing else. There was no deeds done.
Yeah.
No goods given. It was just, I just want to be with you. That's what I'm seeking. That's what I'm knocking. That's what I'm asking.
Because that's a good portion.
That's a good portion. So you look back at this again. What are you going to get? If you're asking for Jesus, if you're asking for the good, the goodness, it's actually him. He's pointing back to Yahweh, the holy chutzpah. The boldness is be bold in approaching the Father. Come to the Father and ask for him. Ask for the good portion. And everything shall be added unto you. Right? But we tend to always be on the goods side. That's why we have a tension. That's why we get disappointed. That's why we doubt. And that's why we go through periods of like, God, you're not good. I didn't get the good. Come on, that's honestly what humans struggle, what I struggle with, what people struggle. I didn't get the goods. Therefore, you're not good.
Do you think that's why when he was teaching about anxiety, Jesus was saying, you don't need to worry or be anxious about the goods. I will take care of the goods, but seek first the kingdom.
The good.
The good.
The good, right? Me.
Yes.
Yeah, it makes all sense. Everything's tied together. Could it be that we have been brainwashed in this affluent culture of get gooder, get better, get braver, get bigger, get more, more comfortable, more security, be a world changer, a history maker, better, better, bolder. Of course, you're going to get disappointed because none of that or little of that is what is actually Jesus. Or good, the good portion. I'm just stating the tension. And that's a hard tension to live with because it simply doesn't happen. And we just always want faster, faster. I want to do this faster, faster. I want this better. I want this higher. That's what, but it doesn't happen. It's a good portion. And here's the thing. This makes all sense when Jesus, what is good and what he comes to do when he says the good news, it's never about giving us the goods. It's directing us to himself. That's the good news. And that's his primary goal. Right?
This is corny, but like that French mathematician, Blaise Pascal, right? He actually has that quote that he says, God has placed in every one of us a God-shaped vacuum, like a longing that only he himself can fill, right? So it's that classic picture. We're trying to fill the vacuum with the goods, as you say it, but God says, that's not what I intended for you to be filled with. Those are kind of like the free sides, you know, the free appetizer that you get. You know, those are the gimmies on the side. But what you can ultimately be satisfied with is what's good, which is me.
So I don't think Jesus is bringing. He's saying, don't do this and don't do that. He's actually saying, this is my interpretation. This is what he says, I'm your father. Ask. Ask everything. You want to ask for a car? I get it. A little selfish. It's okay. Keep asking. Come to me. I don't want you to go away just because you asked the wrong thing. You don't go to your father and just say, oh, I'm just so scared, right? You can approach boldly. He says, ask. See. I know, it's a little something, I'm not going to answer it, but I'm doing something for you because eventually you're going to end up, if you keep seeking, you're going to end up with me. Mm-hmm. Keep asking. You may ask wrong, that's okay, I'm your father, I love you. You want to go to this school, you want a better job, keep asking, it's okay. You want to get married, you want to have a baby, keep asking, no problem, be bold.
I was just thinking.
I'm working. Yeah.
I'm really tracking with what you're saying, right? And I was just thinking exactly what you're just saying is you just keep asking and asking, and God will continue to give, right? Until all that you are satisfied with is Himself, right? You will give until you finally realize of all of these things. That he is good. Not the job, not the new car, right? Oh, we may think it's good and oh, it's nice and flashy, it's new, right? It can drive by itself, right? We may think it's good, but you know, the Bible tells us these goods are not good, but he himself is good, right? So he wants, like, I I'm just going to shine the guard and say that he ultimately wants us to realize that he himself is good, not these other things. We may think it's good, but it's not. That makes sense. Oh, hey, we get this new car, it's going to drive by itself, but then boom, it crashes. Okay, oh wow, I didn't know that. Or I didn't think it would happen to me, but so that's a fact. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. Or you don't get what you ask for, but you keep asking for it. You seek, you knock. And I think what Frank was saying is like, you know, even as we keep seeking him, the thing is we're seeking him through it. And perhaps through the 10 years of not having children, like the friend that you guys mentioned, in that process, what is received still is God himself. More of God himself.
If you seek, you will find. Find Jesus. If you ask, keep on asking, eventually you will receive it. Who opens that door? It's going to be Jesus. We may not be there. I don't think we have to be like, okay, I gotta ask the right thing. And that's just too formal with your Abba Father. Just ask. It's okay. But know that the end goal for our Father is so that you receive himself. It is good to be near him. Mary has chosen a good portion. He's trying to get us to that good portion. And that's the goodest part, right? Before you guys go, I do want to, something good happened to me on Friday, because how many months have we been on the sermon now? I've been in this and I couldn't answer this part. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Well, they're just not. And I live in that tension. It's very hard, but I think God answered me. And where I landed on this text, what we just did, maybe you guys know already, but I didn't know, is that he answered this for me. I'm ready to move on from this text now. So that's good, because that's good. I've been in this. And what helped me was I just saw a small video by Mr. Juan Piper. You guys know Juan Piper, right?
Yeah.
He puts it well, and I just...
chapter 6.
Oh, no.
Verse 33.
Yeah,
but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. All of these things will be added to you. That's the end, almost, of a paragraph that started in verse 25, where he said, don't be anxious about what you should eat, or what you should drink, or what you should wear. And so clearly the all things includes having enough to eat, and having enough to drink, having a roof over your head, and clothing on your back. And the reason he wants us to feel that way, namely anxiety-free about what we need, is because we have a Father in heaven. And he says, look at the birds. Your father feeds them, and aren't you more valuable than the birds? And look at the lilies. Your Father clothes them, and you're more gloriously clothed than Solomon was, and so surely he'll clothe you. And you don't want to be like the nations who don't know God, because they're anxious all the time about these things. I don't want my children to be anxious, the Father says. So clearly, this promise, all these things will be added to you, is part of that argument. Let's not be anxious about what we need. Now, here's the big problem. Are God's children always supplied with enough to stay alive? No, they're not. Jesus said plainly, some of you they will kill. Some of you they'll put in prison. Paul said, shall famine or nakedness separate us from the love of God? Meaning there's going to be times of leanness with food and leanness with clothing. Well, what does it mean then when he says all these things will be provided to you? tithing means everything you need, all the drink you need, all the food you need, all the housing you need, all the transportation you need, all the education you need, all the money you need, all the health you need will be yours in order to do my will, in order to glorify my name. I will never ask from you that you glorify me any way for which I will not supply you. I will give you everything you need in order to live under my kingdom rule. Seek my kingdom and my righteousness. Live under my rule. Live in my righteousness, and I will supply every need you have so that you will be successful at that.
Kingdom, right? Kingdom.
Everything we need is to glorify him.
In where I landed, and I was so surprised that as I was like, who else is saying this in my on the right track? And then John Piper mentions this as that's it. That's why that text is always fulfilled. It's a promise. Whatever you have is exactly what you need to fulfill your purpose in this kingdom. The more, well, sometimes he'll throw a little sprinkle, but certainly not less, right? That's what Jesus is talking about. It's nothing to do with the goods. It has everything to do with the kingdom. So you have enough.
And what I hear, the way that Johan said it right there was that God doesn't expect more.
I mean, what it doesn't supply.
Right. There's so when you're in lack, he knows. And there's a purpose for when you're in a lack.
You don't need it.
Yeah. But do be a pursuer of my kingdom, be a pursuer of me. In that, it's
so the whole seek is not talking about seeking what you need, it's seeking the kingdom, asking for kingdom. Knocking on the kingdom door. If you're asking the kingdom door, sure, it'll be open. Sure. It's a promise. Yeah.
So just to clarify what I said is that not everything that I asked for, God gave me. I wanted to make that clarification. Yes. But not, I didn't mean it. As I was thinking about it, it sounded like, oh, everything that I prayed for, God gave it to me. No, that's
yeah, not so case. That happens for me.
Right. So I just wanted to make that clarification.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't he the one that said God is most glorified when you're most satisfied? So mm-hmm. when that's what I got from him saying, oh, he's been fulfilling all of our needs. So if we are fulfilled with our, you know, physical assessments, right, then we're more able to. Not that we necessarily will, but we're more able to glorify them. Like, get enough food, then that means we're healthy, right? We're filled. We get enough rest, then we're more alert, you know, to maybe share the thoughts on something like that. Yeah. Thanks. Rips?
Okay. Yeah, I'm really thankful for today's discussion because as I'm rereading this passage, I'm seeing that this passage is not really an invitation to learn how to ask for different things or even ask differently or, you know, what can or can I not ask for, but it's actually an invitation to just look to the one who is the source, right? Like daily bread and fish. It's like, that's like my daily basic stuff. And I'm realizing like I'm so blessed in my life that I actually don't look to God for like my basic things because I already have it. It's like a given. And so in that sense, I don't seek God every day for bread. I don't seek God for like essentials. And but I feel like this invitation is to look at the one to, you know, fix my eyes and connect with the one who gives everything. And like you guys are saying, you know, with him, just abiding in him and being with him, looking to him. And so, yeah, I'm very encouraged to kind of get this fresh invitation from the Lord to be like, hey, connect with me, because I have everything that you need. And it's not a matter of what my life will be like, what I will have or not have, but so as long as I have God, right? So, yeah, thanks. Thanks, everyone.
There's something that I've always struggled with, maybe, you know, something can help me answer this, but I mean, at some, you know, we all struggle with these things, like, oh, we want this, we want that, right? And, you know, we clearly see from scripture that, hey, God, you know, God is good, right? Not the goods, right? And we struggle with the love of the goods instead of the good, right? At some point, I mean, we have to say, right, that yeah, Jesus is all we need, right? That is himself. But my question is, and if we read the Bible, we believe the Bible is true, why do we still struggle with that? That's something that has constantly been on my mind. Like, why? I believe what the Bible says. I believe the word. But how come, why am I still struggling with, oh God, how come you didn't give me this? Or give me that, right? Why is there this internal struggle with me?
I think we all do,
right? With everything, right? I'm just using myself as an example, So then why is there that struggle? If we believe God's word is true, and we believe in His, we 100% believe in the truth is true, the Bible. Why is it that we continue to have this internal battle? That's something that I always struggle with.
Yeah, and Jesus stressing that. You know, on this side of heaven, because in this sinful world, we are in the sinful mind, we will continue to struggle. However, our Father says, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. You'll find me. And I will. I think we're all in this journey of from knowing to experience. I've been in the knowing part, like you, Claude. I know it, I trust it, but I haven't encountered. Jesus wants us to encounter. That's very different. When we encounter His goodness and you experience it, you'll have no words to describe it. You'll close this Bible and you'll say, I encountered Him today. And that's what Jesus said, you'll find Him. When you encounter Him, that leads to this, right? I hope something good happens to you today, right? What is that good? Have that good portion. And I hope something, you have goods too. Jesus is not against that either. You know, this is not the end. I'm like, oh, don't sell everything. He's not asking that unless he is. But certainly, the big portion is not the goods. It's Jesus himself. Okay? Simple. We'll go into here. Let's pray. Father, we want the good portion. We want to know you more. Thank you for being a good Father, because you have come to save our souls. Yeah, come to give personal attention to those who belong to you, to those who are weak, to those who are oppressed, to those who are hungry. You have filled us. You have filled us. Lord, we thank you, and
You have given us even more than we asked. We just don't realize. But we want more. But that's more things is not going to bring us closer to you. We know that because you're a good Father who only wants to give us good things. Lord, direct our attention back to you, back to your Son, Jesus. So that is all we want. And we want to be drawn closer and closer to you because that's where the pearl of great price is. That's where the secret is. That's where the goodness is. And when we experience that, oh, we say, oh, I tasted what is good. Taste and see what the Lord has done. I pray for that encounter and that experience that we'll have with you, not just head knowledge, that will travel to our hearts and that will invade our lives and our homes, our church, our workplace, our schools, that will overflow so that we can truly bring this good news to others. We pray for Pastor Alex today as he joins his lips, that the words that we speak will be good, and that will be good for our souls. May we pray. Amen. Amen.